All right, so I want to just start off by jumping right into the scripture. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 38 through 42 today. We are continuing on in our verse-by-verse study of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And so we pick up here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 38. I'm going to read the entire passage, and then we'll go back and break it down as we talk about it, okay? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, Jesus teaches this. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." All right, so have you ever had one of those moments where someone just totally disrespects you? Maybe it's something they say, or maybe it's how they say it, or maybe it's in front of other people. And as it hits you, you feel it instantly. For me, I can literally feel heat rising from my feet to my face in those moments. And almost instantly, something rises up in us, right? That urge to respond, to correct them, to set the record straight, to make sure everyone in the room knows you're not the one who's going to be talked to that way. And in that moment, any retaliation feels justified. It feels right. It feels necessary. Because something in us believes, if I don't defend myself, no one will. And if we're honest, that's not just about that moment. That's something deeper in us. It shows up in conversations, in conflict, in marriage, in friendships, at work, and sometimes even at church. There's something in us that wants to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, or to get even. And then Jesus steps in and says something completely different and even a little uncomfortable, because what Jesus teaches doesn't just challenge our behavior, it inspects our heart. We've been talking about that for the past few weeks. What Jesus is getting at as he dives into the teachings of the law is he's exposing what's going on in our hearts. And that's what he's doing here. So again, Jesus is teaching this here, and it's not just about our behavior, it's about our heart. It's about our pride, our instinct to protect ourselves, our insecurities, the need to prove ourselves and to defend ourselves, the feeling that we need to be right all the time, and the desire to get even when someone wrongs us. And Jesus is saying there's another way to live, a better way to live. But here's what I want you to see today. This isn't just something that Jesus taught. This is the kind of king that he is. And that matters, especially this week, because as we step into Palm Sunday, we're watching a king enter a city, not to conquer it, not to take power, but to lay it down. So what I want us to do is walk through this text slowly and try to understand exactly what Jesus is teaching us here. All right, so let's start off Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Jesus starts off by saying, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, when Jesus says that, he's quoting something that they would have known at the time, right? This wasn't just some random saying people made up. This came from the Old Testament. It was a part of the law. And it was actually given for a very good reason, because this law was never meant to encourage revenge, right? If someone takes your eye, you take their eye, right? It was actually meant to limit revenge. It was meant to keep people from escalating conflict. In other words, God is saying, justice should be measured, not excessive, not explosive, not fueled by rage. The punishment should fit the offense. So this law was good. It was wise. It was necessary. But by the time Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, something has shifted. What God gave as a principle for justice has been twisted into a justification. All right, and we've been talking about that as Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," is that people were trying to find loopholes around God's commands to continue to give themselves the appearance of, of righteousness and holiness, right? And so Jesus is saying, no, no, it's not just about the external behavior. It's about what's going on in your heart. So when Jesus is preaching this principle during the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about this propensity that people had to twist God's command into justification and here as justification for personal retaliation. So instead of this being something that restrained evil, it became something that people used to excuse revenge, right? You hurt me and I'll hurt you. You embarrass me, I'm going to embarrass you. You come after me, I'm going to come after you. And let's be honest, man, that sounds a lot more like the world we live in, because we live in a world that teaches us to answer insult with insult, right? To answer offense with offense, to answer disrespect with something stronger. And honestly, we live in a culture that is offended by almost anything, right? People are constantly on edge, constantly reacting, constantly taking things personally, constantly ready to fire back. And if we're not careful, that kind of spirit gets in us too, where every slight against us feels huge. Every disagreement that we have feels personal. Every criticism feels like an attack. And Jesus is speaking right into that kind of heart, right? He's exposing the part of us that's always ready to retaliate, always ready to answer back, always ready to make sure that we get the last word. So before he ever tells us what to do, he starts off by exposing what's already in us, right? Because you can't follow Jesus very far if you're always living with your fists clenched. Do you understand? All right, so again, he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then in verse 39, he starts off by saying, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. He's talking about a person who is evil here, okay? Now, this is where it gets kind of uncomfortable, right? Because at first hearing, it can sound like Jesus is saying, just let evil happen. You know, don't confront it. Never confront anything. Never speak truth. Never stand against what's wrong, right? But that's not what he means at all here. Jesus is not forbidding justice, okay? He's not endorsing abuse. He's not calling evil good. He's speaking here about personal retaliation for wrong that's done to you. Okay, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about personal retaliation for wrong that has been done to you. Now, we've all heard the saying, two wrongs don't make a right. And that's the idea here, right? He's confronting that reflex in us that says, I've got to get them back. I've got to make this even. I've got to defend myself right now. And Jesus is saying, don't live controlled by that reflex. Do you understand? Don't let revenge write your response. Don't let your wounded pride determine your actions. Don't let your offended heart become your master. And that's huge, because most of us, we don't think revenge is a real issue for us, right? We think revenge sounds extreme. We hear that word revenge and we think of violence or something dramatic. But revenge often shows up in much smaller ways, in things like cold silence, right? Or a cutting comment, or withholding kindness, or bringing up someone else's failure, making sure they feel what they made us feel. And sometimes revenge isn't loud, right? Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's polished. Sometimes it's even religious sounding. But underneath it is still the same thing. I need to make this even. And Jesus is saying there's a better way to live, a way where you're not ruled by offense, where you're not controlled by your pride, where you don't have to strike back every time you're struck. And church, listen to me. This isn't weakness. This is strength surrendered to God. This is what it looks like when someone trusts that God sees, that God knows, and that God will handle what I don't have to handle myself. And this is where Palm Sunday fits into all of this. This is Palm Sunday, right? Because Jesus isn't just teaching this. He's walking towards it. If you look at Matthew chapter 21, and we don't have time to read that today, if you want to read it in your house churches, you can. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and as he enters Jerusalem, the crowds are crying out, Hosanna, save us. They're celebrating him like a king, welcoming him like a king, hoping that he'll act like the kind of king that they want. But Jesus doesn't come as a conqueror. He comes lowly. He comes humble, riding on a donkey even, right? He doesn't come breathing threats or to take revenge. Or he doesn't lead a great army to crush his enemies. He comes in peace. And that's shocking because the sovereign king has every right to come with judgment. He has every right to come with power, every right to come and take what belongs to him. But instead, he comes in humility. Why? Listen to this. Because the king we follow doesn't cling to his rights. He lays them down for us, for our forgiveness, for our freedom, for our salvation. And now he's teaching us to live the same way. So in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus takes his teaching out of theory and brings it into a moment that every single one of us understands. All right, so let's get back to Matthew chapter 39. Again, I'm just going to kind of go through it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. All right, now when we read that, we tend to picture a fight, right? Two people, an argument, and someone takes a swing, right? But that's not what this is. In this particular culture, a slap on the right cheek was not about violence. It was about insult. All right. I mean, kind of picture somebody taking off a glove, you know, and slapping someone across the face. Most people were right-handed, right? So to strike someone on the right cheek, it would have had to have been a backhanded slap, right? Which was a way of saying, you're beneath me. You're less than me. You don't deserve respect. So Jesus isn't just talking about being hurt, okay? He's talking about being insulted. He's talking about being disrespected, being dismissed, being looked down upon, right? Being treated like you don't matter. Now, for us, hopefully, right, we may not get slapped like that. I hope you don't, right? But we know exactly what that feels like, right? It's that comment that cuts deeper than it should, right? That tone that makes you feel small. It's being talked over, being ignored, being dismissed. It's that moment where something in you says, hey, that wasn't okay. And what does Jesus say to do in those moments? He says, turn to him the other cheek also. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is not saying abuse is okay or that you should stay in a harmful situation or there's no place for boundaries. He's not saying that. That's not what this means, right? What he is addressing is this. The instinct to immediately defend your honor, that knee-jerk reaction to strike back, that urge to make sure that they feel what you felt. Jesus is saying, you don't have to respond the way your flesh wants you to respond. You don't have to escalate the moment. You don't have to win the exchange, right? And again, this is uncomfortable for us because everything in us says, if I don't say something, I lose. If I don't respond, they win. If I don't defend myself, I look weak. And Jesus says, you know, there's a strength that looks a lot like surrender. Now, don't miss this, all right? Jesus isn't just giving us a teaching. As I said before, he's walking toward a moment where this will happen to him. And he shows us the example of what it is that he's teaching. A moment where he will be mocked. A moment where he will be spit on. Where he will be struck, where he'll be sent off to his execution, all the while being blameless and innocent. And when that happens, he doesn't retaliate. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't strike back. And listen, he could have. Let's not forget that, right? He had every right to respond. He had every right to call it out. He had every right to stop it. He could have called down legions of angels, but he doesn't. Why? Because the king we follow doesn't cling to his rights. He lays them down for us. So what does that mean for us, right? It means that moment that you feel disrespected is a moment of decision. Will I react out of pride or will I respond out of trust? Will I escalate or will I surrender to God? Jesus is showing us a better way to live, where we don't have to carry every offense or respond to every comment or defend ourselves in every moment. There is a deeper freedom available. Freedom, okay? The freedom of someone who knows God sees me and he knows the truth and he'll handle what I don't have to handle. And because of that, I can lay this down. Now, in verse 40, Jesus kind of shifts the picture, okay? He's talked about revenge. He's talked about someone doing evil to you and insulting you and disrespecting you and smacking you on the cheek. And now in verse 40, this is what he says. He says, "And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." All right. So this is no longer about an insult. This is about what belongs to you, your possessions, your resources, something that's rightfully yours. Jesus is basically saying, if they take what you're entitled to, give them even more. That's what he's saying, right? And again, everything in us pushes back on that. Wait, that's not fair, right? They shouldn't get away with that. That's mine. And that's exactly the point, because Jesus is exposing something in us, our attachment to what we think we deserve, our grip on what we believe is ours. But in God's kingdom, your security is not found in what you hold on to. It's found in who you trust. All right. In verse 41, he goes on to say, "And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, Jesus here isn't speaking in hypothetical terms, right? This was actually something that they experienced. Roman soldiers had the legal right during this time to force any Jewish person to carry their gear for 1 mile. Imagine that. You're going about your day and suddenly a soldier stops you and says, "Carry this." It doesn't matter what you were doing. It doesn't matter how important it was. You don't get to argue. It was frustrating. It was humiliating. It was unjust, right? And Jesus says, go 2 miles with him, right? Not just compliance, not just, hesitant obligation, right? Willingness, transformation, representation, if you want to get down to it. Now, it's not just about what someone says to you or what someone takes from you. Now it's about someone who interrupts your life, your time, your plans, your convenience. And again, everything in us says, why should I? This isn't fair. They don't deserve that. And Jesus says, you're not living for fairness anymore. You're living from freedom. Freedom from needing control, from needing everything to go your way, from needing to protect yourself at all costs, to protect your time at all costs. And again, don't miss this, all right? Jesus isn't just teaching this. He's walking towards it as the example. Because very soon, he'll not just go 1 mile. He'll carry a cross all the way to Golgotha, not because he had to, because he was obligated to, but because he chose to. Why? Because again, the king we follow doesn't cling to his rights. He lays them down for us. All right, verse 42, let's finish it out. Jesus finishes by saying, "Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Now this kind of seems out of place here, right? Because this is no longer about enemies or about soldiers. This is about everyday encounters, people in need, people asking for something from you, people depending on you. And what does he say? He says, give. Don't turn them away, right? This is about posture. This is about living with open hands and open hearts, not calculating the cost, not controlling, not asking, listen, do they deserve it? Not asking, do they deserve it? But instead asking, how can I reflect the heart of my king? Because this is what God has done for us. He didn't wait until we deserved it. He didn't calculate our worthiness. He gave freely, generously, sacrificially. And this is the thread. Listen, this is the thread that runs through all of it. Please don't miss this, okay? He's saying, when insulted, when wronged, when taken from, when interrupted, when asked, we are to reflect the heart of Jesus, the king who entered Jerusalem not to take power, but to lay it down, the king who was rejected but didn't retaliate, the king who was struck but didn't strike back. The king who was asked to carry a cross and carried it to his own death for us. So the question is this. It's not, do I agree with this? It's, do I trust Jesus? Do I trust Jesus? Because everything Jesus taught only makes sense if you trust him. Again, if you believe that God sees you and he knows what's been done to you and that he will ultimately make things right. Listen, we serve a God of justice. We serve a God who is going to make all things right. Everything that has been done wrong to you will one day be made right, right? So do you trust him? Do you trust the God of justice, right? If you do, then you don't have to carry every offense, right? You don't have to respond to every insult. You don't have to defend yourself in every moment. You're free, free to lay it down, free to live generously, regardless of what you think others deserve. And listen, you do this because you have been loved like this. That's why you do it, because you have been loved like this. Jesus is basically saying that we should adopt an attitude of humility and seek to be peaceful with those who have wronged us and those we don't think deserve mercy. We can choose to love and forgive those who have wronged us. This is the love that was demonstrated to us by Jesus. And we have been called to reflect the heart of our King to those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we come before you and we just thank you so much, God, for your love for us. Your word teaches that while we were still sinners, while we were your enemies, Christ died for us. You sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us. We committed treason against you. We ignored you. We betrayed you, and yet you gave the greatest gift that this world will ever know in your Son, Jesus, who would pay the price for our sins and give us grace and mercy that we in no way deserve. And now you're calling us, Father, to extend that same grace and mercy and love to those around us, that same forgiveness to those around us, Lord. I pray, Father, for those watching, because we live in a world right now, God, where everybody is offended by everything, and it's so easy to snap on people and to try to get even with people and always have a comeback or always respond to that comment on social media that has offended us and defend our position and defend ourselves and even sometimes disguise it as defense of you. God, help us, Father, not to live in that kind of turmoil and conflict. Help us to be people of peace, God, people of mercy, people who reflect the heart of Jesus in the world around us. God, again, this world doesn't need more of us or our opinion or our attitude or our behavior. It needs more of Jesus. And so help us, Father, to truly be ambassadors of the King that we say that we follow. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent out to do. God, teach us, shape us, help us to be more like Jesus, because this world is desperate for him, whether they know it or not. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.